word is bunt, bunt. Put out the word.
Bring that rugged, get real shit.
Word. Get rocks over here. This is gone.
Yeah. Ready or not?
All right, everybody, this is Chase March, and I have a special guest on the phone lines right now, a recording engineer and author, BT Rockwell. How's it going, man?
Hey, bro, how you doing? I'm doing great. Can't complain. I'm glad you had the time for me.
Yeah, well, I get requests to read books all the time because what I do at chasemarch.com, and a lot of people that listen to my radio show probably don't know that, but I blog about every single book that I read.
Right.
And last year, I read 79 of them, so I'm quite the avid reader.
That's an avid reader right there.
Some of those are graphic novels, so they're easier to whip through, but I love comic books too.
Okay.
So, hip-hop and comic books kind of go together.
I just got a great comic book myself. My friend just brought this over. It's called Hip-Hop Family Tree.
Oh yeah, those are wicked.
Yeah, I got the two editions from 1970 through 81 and 81 through 83. And it's pretty brilliant comic book form of the history of early hip-hop. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I want to pick those up. I've read them, but I don't own them.
Right.
What they do is really cool because it looks like a Sunday morning funnies pages, even the way they color it.
Exactly.
It retells historic moments in the history of hip-hop. It's brilliant.
Right, an old-fashioned comic book form, and it even has that kind of 70s look to it. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm a hip-hop historian, so I love that we can celebrate that kind of stuff, because I do a monthly documentary show called Know Your History, where I try to do some of those things.
That's what's up.
But that comic is brilliant, so I hope people check for that.
Yes, but not where they check for my book.
Yeah, and they can check for your book. It's called Burn Me Up Fast.
Yes, sir.
By BT Rockwell. And it's kind of a hip-hop story, too. Not exactly about an artist or anything, but it's about a kid that's in that kind of world, you know, like in the gritty New York streets, right?
Yeah, the counterculture, you know, there's kind of a blend of, he's a hip-hop head, but he's not from the full-on ghetto, and it definitely has a hip-hop feel. There's a lot of artists mentioned and records mentioned and music played, but there's also like soul and R&B. There's even some rock kind of mentions and shout outs. So it's kind of coming from an angle of someone who's like a blend of today's kind of like hip hop mixed with rock, mixed with like skater or hippie. There's kind of like this blend counterculture that's down with all sides of that, the best of all those parts.
Yeah. Well, you're a musician and you've worked with a whole bunch of rappers. So is writing fiction new, or is it something that you've always done?
Well, I've always liked to write. Just like everyone of my generation, probably when I was much younger, I had fun writing lyrics and, you know, was DJing, but also was seeing where else I could go within this world. And I think quickly hanging around some real MCs with a lot of skills and probably even a little more like on point rhythm than I have, I realized that rapping wasn't meant for me. So I started doing a lot more engineering and beat production, which was perfect for me, but there wasn't any more time to write anything. And so when I had the chance, I basically decided to give it a go. And it's funny because most of my direct family writes and edits in one way or another for a living or part of their living. So, you know, even though they don't do fiction, it's kind of like in our blood that we write and edit a lot. So that's how it came about.
Was that scary though? Like, have they read it? And like,
yeah, they've definitely read it. I mean, beyond read it, you know, my parents, my brother, other like really tight family friends have all were the early readers and proofreaders and all put their little like contribution and suggestions. And it was cool because it's a lot of people that read a lot and know a lot of books and a lot of classic books and quality stuff. So, you know, they all put their eyes and brain kind of on the project. So it wasn't just me. So it actually helped. I mean, obviously, it's intimidating when you let people in to see your art. For most artists have a sensitive side to them. So like, they're going to be kind of nervous. But once I got past that part and you just open up and willing to take constructive criticism and ideas, and you know, you can say no with whatever you want to, or you can take what suggestions they give as it comes. So it worked out well, and I'm glad a lot of people helped and gave their suggestions and advice and opinions on the story as a whole.
Back to the program. That was Beastie Boys. Here's a little something for you, the BT Rockwell remix. And we are talking to BT about all things hip-hop and about his new book, Burn Me Up Fast. So let's get back to the interview. Well, you know when they say it's kind of a writer credo to write what you know?
Yes.
This character is a little bit aimless, the main character of
right.
B. It starts off a chapter where it's like in italics and it's in capital letters. So that's what he's writing, right?
Correct. Those are journal entries, basically.
Okay.
And he's carrying around a journal with him. So there's like probably 5 or 6 excerpts where the main character B is writing. You know, he is kind of aimless and kind of just letting, you know, he's making some money and living a counterculture life. He's going to parties. He's kind of hanging out a lot. He's making enough to pay his bills. But yeah, in general, there's something inside him that's looking for more, but he's not really going in a direction quick enough that will make something else happen. And he's kind of a closet author. So he has been writing, but he's what I was talking about, where he's like deathly afraid to show people his writing, which, you know, if you do want to get discovered, you have to have the balls to put yourself out there. And B definitely is not really willing to, and he has people that help push that arc along, where people are helping to keep push him to get his writing out. And I think, you know, if you have people in your life like that that support you and back you, it makes it that much easier to put yourself out there for everyone to ridicule or, you know, talk about.
Yeah, I can identify with that character too, because I've written fiction.
Right.
quite a bit of it, and I haven't done anything with it. Like,
right.
Other than my cousin, no one's read it, right? So it's like, I need to get myself out there and actually...
That's all you can do, man. It's like, you're not going to get discovered by not showing anyone your art. So it's the only way to do it. And I've always had a lot of respect for artists or musicians that really can write new material, and then they just can go out with either no fear or they show no fear, and they... let the world hear it. And even if some people don't like it, they still represent and say, I think it's good, I'm gonna keep doing this. And eventually, you know, you might pick up enough fan base where even if it's not everyone's cup of tea, you have enough people that like it. And I've seen that happen a lot. But if you don't do anything, no one will ever see it. But you know, that's a fine line between, are you doing it just for a hobby, or do you think you can actually want to do something more with it? And I had that same kind of idea in the music business, where I was DJing and making music, making beats for fun. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, do I want to take this further? How far can I take this? Can I make a living off it? And it's just one of those things you have to decide when you're doing art. Are you doing it for a hobby, or are you really trying to like make some money off it and get some fan base? It's like a whole other world of seriousness, you know?
Yeah. Well, it seemed to work out for you, because if you were trying to be, you know, an artist yourself, but then you got to go to work with, like, major artists like the Wu-Tang
right.
Clan.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I followed Raekwon the Chef around for, like, a good 3 years around wherever he went around the world for the most part. And, you know, we worked on his album Cuban Links 2, which, you know, thank God got critical acclaim. And we worked extremely hard on that all the time for years, which is pretty long for an album to work on 8 years. But, you know, and it worked out well because we got to really make sure the whole thing was quality and nothing was rushed. But I think, you know, those kind of things, I mean, listen, I was like a huge Wu-Tang fan, you know, times 10. So like being picked up to go on the road or to be trusted with an album and all his recordings of, you know, all his vocals and all these things was a blessing if you were doing that with almost any artist, just to be able to do that. But then let alone it was the Wu-Tang, or, you know, one of the main people within the group that still works really hard and is putting out a lot of material. It was a blessing and an amazing experience, but it also taught me lessons about how serious this is when you're doing a business. It goes back to what I was saying about it really shows you the difference between if you're doing this like half-ass or kind of like a hobby versus like this is a full-time job. And it's pretty serious at that level. You know what I mean? It's no joke. There's a lot of like quality stuff. There's a lot of quality artists and people that you see competing against you to work with someone like Raekwon. You see what the competition is and what's really going out there, how hard you have to work and work harder than the rest and put out just as good as material as the rest. So it was a trip and definitely taught me a lot.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, just to get on their radar, like, did you approach him or did he approach you? Like, how'd that come about?
Basically, the way it came about is I had some friends that had met Raekwon through another friend, through a cameraman, basically. And my friend Vinny Ponte, shout out Vinny Ponte, he's pretty much a legendary skateboarder. You can look him up. He has plenty of video. And he's also, like, a really good DJ. He basically was working on some mixtape stuff with Raekwon when Ray was coming back with the idea of Cuban Links 2. You know, he put out the Lex Diamond story and then wasn't really kind of laid low on the radar for a little bit. And this was kind of like his comeback. And my friend was working with him. And what happened was I would give my friend beat CDs, which is a common thing. You know, you'll give someone a CD, or nowadays you might use a flash drive, but you're going to give someone some of your beats. Well, because I was giving it to a friend, I didn't even write my name on the CD, which is a total rook move for all you people out there. If you're giving beat CDs, you put your name, your number, email right on the disc, which I would normally do, but I thought since I was giving it to a friend, and it would be a good look for him because he'd have some new beats to play some of the artists that he was working with, such as Raekwon, so he could be like, oh, look, I got some fresh beats from my boy. Let me play some. Maybe you like one. It's just a good look for everyone. So fast forward like a week or two later, and my friend Vinny was playing me some of the tracks that they had worked on. And sure enough, one of the tracks, I'm like, that's my beat. So then we asked Raekwon, we're like, yo, who? The track is called Range Rover, and it's the first track we did together. It's a great track.
They call him Mr. Staten Allen Gats. New Balance is coming through hood. Hiking, smoking the woods. A lot of pole, lightning, neck, finger, icy. Pay a lot of rent. Niggas do them good. Ices, halibut, fishes with different color rices. All my niggas behind pots stirring. Blocks we serving. 2 for 5, slide in the building. Heard me? White fish scale, take a whiff. Shit's rare. Don't ever post me with no whiteys and big bells. The fuck, doctor. Only truck, jury on. Gold lockman. Most of my money was grounded on guapin. For every gate cake, and we gon' collect the model, respect it, or get your hand chopped off, drowned in my wet. The places I've been, seen a lot of faces on the move, pacing Yankee hats, low, what up, a law, stay gracious, applying refinement, stretch lands, grams in the Soho brand, where I blaze pussies and purple hazes, sipping sake, BT in it, Dick, Rocky, Bruce Wayne frames from the creator Versace, yo, everybody lit, money to split, on birthdays, we call them Earth Days, buy that nigga a whip, so when the D pull up, we fully equipped. Checkbook, credit card, license, fifth. My wife just flipped. Portable gats, them skinny TVs. G's in the ceiling fan, miss the money from all the flips. I got the cleanest Range Rover. I don't wanna get pulled over. So when you see us, say soldier.
My friend Vinny was like, yo, who made that track Range Rover? Who made that beat? And Ray was like, you know, because he lives in Atlanta. And he was basically like, oh, I think this producer from Atlanta, blah, 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 blah. And we were just like, no, man, that's BT. BT made that beat. And he was like, oh, that CD didn't even have a name on it. So Vinny passed along this beat CD with no name on it. Ray liked one of the beats. You know, we had met before, but we had never worked together. And from that point on, I think it opened up his eyes, like, oh, okay. And then I just kept feeding him more and more beats. And once he found out that I got my degree in engineering and I actually went to school for that and wasn't just an MPC beat maker, I actually could mix and record, I think he really had trust in me. And the more we worked together, the more he trusted me. And then one day he said, listen, I want you to oversee the Cubalinks 2 project from this point on and help complete it, you know?
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, basically the moral of the story is you have to work really hard at your craft, but you have to network. The more you network, I mean, I'm blessed that I'm kind of from this area. I live in New York City where there's plenty of connections to be made, but you know, the more people you know that can hook you up with other people, the more of a chance of something amazing happening. But when your time is called through networking, you better have the skills to back it up. So basically, I think I had the skills and the networking at that time to hook something like that up. And that's really why it happened.
Nice. So you're still working in music, or are you working in writing now? What's your main gig?
I would say the last couple of years, the main gig has been finishing the book, because it was more of a side project, again, just a labor of love to see if I could do it. And then it just became, as it was becoming more finished, it just became like the priority to really get this done and finish it, you know? And once I had like artwork done and professionally edited and book layouts, all these things started to get more real and make it seem like, oh, I have to really complete this and follow it through. So, you know, and I kind of needed a quick break from the rap music for a little bit, but I've been making a lot of music again and doing some freelance jobs and talking to Raekwon about the potential of doing some more work together at his studio. But I think the last couple of years, you can say the writing took kind of the forefront.
So do you plan on writing more fiction?
Yeah, I mean, I have, first of all, I've written screenplays. I wrote a screenplay for this book. I have an idea for a TV show kind of loosely based on the book. And then, yeah, I wrote a novella. It's a little shorter, but it's a great story. It's called Bloodsucker. And it also takes place in pretty much current day New York City and has the same feel of the storytelling I give, which is kind of like gritty, to the point, in your face storytelling. There's not a lot of fluff. I keep my stuff short and sweet and kind of like a punk song. It has a lot of emotion and grit, but it's no fluff. I think if people like my storytelling, they'll love Bloodsucker as well. And Bloodsucker is pretty much done, so it'll be out probably at the end of 2015.
We're talking to B.T. Rockwell, author, producer, audio engineer. His latest book, Burn Me Up Fast, is available now. Tell people how they can pick this up.
Sure. Amazon and BarnesandNobles.com have the paperback. It's available digitally through the Kindle store and the iBook store in many, many different countries. We're international now. So those are your best options, I would say.
I'm gonna get you once I got you. I got you. You could never capture the Method Man stature for rhyming for rapture. Got niggas resigning now, master my staff. Never, I put the fucking buck in the wildcat on terror. Razor sharp, I sever the head from the shoulders. I'm better than my competitor. You mean competitor, whatever. Let's get together.
Shame on the nigga who tried to run game on the nigga who buck wild with the trip blah.
He act so thick, I'm fat. And yo, Ray came blowing and blew off your headphones black. Rap from yo, Cali to Texas, smoother than a Lexus. Now it's my turn to wreck this. Brothers approaching half step, but ain't heard half of it yet. And I bet you're not a fucking vet. So when you see me on the reel, forming like Voltron, remember I got deep like a Navy SEAL.
Same on the nigga who tried to run game on the nigga who buck wild with the trigger. Same on the nigga who tried to run game on the nigga. I'll fuck your ass up. From my vocal, couldn't be with a pair of bifocals. I'm no joker, play me as a joker. Be on it like a house on fire, smoke ya. Dudes be acting like the gangs anyway. Be like, warriors, come out and play, yeah. Play me. I get into shit, I let it like diarrhea. Got burnt once, but that was only gonorrhea. 30, I keep shit staged in my drawers so I can get fist and funky for ya. Murder, takes the flame of the Wu-Tang, rah. Here comes the Tiger Brush Crane, ow. Be like, wow, with my style, punk. Play me chump, you get dumb. Woo, it's coming through at a theater near you. And get funk like it's true. But
closing down the sector, supreme neck protector. Better want him, kid, Mr. Mepsa. Ballin' pop, bout to blow his lid from the pressure. Too hot for TV, for Sheezy. Too many wanna be Harvey, easy. It's all in together, going all out together. It don't take much to please me. Still homes, I'm never satisfied like the Stones. We dunkin', don't write and see them selling crossbones. Protecting what I'm writing, don't clash with the Titan who blast with a license to kill rap recitants. Come on, in the zone with your nigga from the group home to Cal.
Fuck your lifestyle.
Put your lights out, get this shit to crackin'. Got you fiendin' with your
pipes out, time for some action. Surfing the avenue, mad at you, where I used to battle cruise. Back when Antoinette had that attitude. Cover me, I'm going in, walls closing in. Got us busting off these pistols, my niggas got issues again. Same song, armed with the mega bomb. Blow you out the frame, then I'm gone.
Yo, I was going too, but we roam. Cellular phones, dot meth, back in the flesh. Blood and bones, don't condone. Spin bank loans and homegrown. Suckers break like turbo in ozone. When I grab the broom, moonwalk, platoon hawk. My goons bark, leave you in the blue lagoon. Lost, three nines in the glove with Masu, D-Dine in the glove, right behind on the boss. Haters don't touch, way is both up. Now my neighbor doped up, got the cable hooked up. All channels, lift my shirt, all mammal. You ship off keys and we ship grand piano.
Sawed off shotgun,
hand on the pump. Sipping on the 40,
smoking on the blood.
Bust my gun off,
random rep didn't jump.
La 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 la.
You're listening to Word is Bond Rap Radio. My name is Chase March. Make sure you are following us on Facebook, facebook.com/WIB Rap Radio. You can follow me, Chase March, on there, on Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Tumblr, everywhere at Chase March, just like you are running after the month. And don't touch that dial, because right on the other side of these spots that we're going to run, these little advertisements, we have more with hip-hop producer and author BT Rockwell. We are talking about his novel Burn Me Up Fast and talking about his work with groups like the Wu-Tang Clan. So don't touch that dial. We got lots more coming at you for this edition of Word is Bond Rap Radio right here on 94.9 CHRW.